We're on the bottom of Mem Tesimon Beis. We are two lines from the bottom. The Gemara says, Kama'ase Bechol. So the Mishnah told us, going through the whole long description of how Nisach HaMayim took place, so whatever was done on the weekday, the same thing was done on Shabbos. The only difference was that when it fell on Shabbos, Sukkos, that day, they would draw the water from the spring below on Erev Shabbos and leave it overnight. And we said it wasn't in the Kli Sharis, because if it was placed in the Kli Sharis, anything in Kli Sharis becomes Kedushas Aguf now. And then if you leave it out overnight, it's Pasul Midin Lina. Lina is anything that gets left out overnight becomes Pasul Midin Lina. So that's why they were not Mekadosh it in a Kli Sharis. They just left it in some type of a jug. So asks the Gemara, V'amai, Naisi B'Mekudeshes, why not bring it in Mekudeshes? So Rashi explains, it's a little bit confusing Gemara. Look at four lines in the bottom of Rashi. V'amai, Naisi B'Mekudeshes, the Kasaka Daitak, the Gemara at this point thinks, Ina Kli Mekadoshin Kedushas Aguf, the Pasabalina. The Kli is not Mekadosh something where the point it becomes Kedushas Aguf, which then will become Pasal Midinlina. Ela Im Kain Daito Sheik Tishenu HaKli, unless a person has the proper Das to Mekadosh B'Kli. So, meaning if I fill up a thing of water and if I don't have in mind to have a Kedushas Aguf, it won't be effective. Even though it's a Kli Sharis, if my Das is not that way, it's not going to be considered a Kedushas Aguf. Or another way to get around it from being Pasal Balina, Rashi says, Im Yesh Ben Yosem Mikashir Ein Ruin L'Kli, Veina Kli Mekadshim. Let's say you have to, at this point we learn in the Mishnah, that Nisach HaMayim has to have three lug. So the halacha is, at this point we think, that only if you have a Kli that's exactly three lug will it affect the water, make it Kadosh. But if I, let's say, take a Kli that's five lug or six lug and fill up more than the actual shear, it's not going to be Mekadosh with Kedushas HaGuf. So again, so you could take a Kli Sharis and just don't have in mind to be Mekadosh it, or take a much larger Kli Sharis, more than the necessary water, and that won't be Mekadosh it either. Those are one of... Even if you do have in mind. Exactly, even if you do have in mind, but it's more than the needed shear, that also wouldn't be Mekadosh it, but Kedushas Aguf.
But you can never measure exactly the shear.
You're saying in terms of Efshel Tzamtim or not?
No, I mean, it's...
I think we have ideas of Efshel Tzamtim in terms of the shear. I think it's in terms of timing we don't always have. We can't do Efshel Tzamtim in time, but in terms of measurement, we do allow for it. So if you have more than the needed shear, that also wouldn't be Kedushas Aguf. It has to be exactly the shear and the das. Both of them have to be necessary to make it Kedushas Aguf. And once it's Kedushas Aguf, then it could be a problem of Pasul Belina if it was left that overnight. So you can put...
If you had the large vessel, and you had das, and you start pouring in the water, once you hit three, even though you're going to continue with those three, why wouldn't those three be?
Interesting.
Good question.
A very good question. I don't know. Maybe it's a case where you just took a bucket and filled the whole thing up at once.
Maybe because he had in mind to have more than three, so maybe that also affects.
Maybe also, meaning if you sit in the beginning, your das needs to have every more than that. Even when it hits the three lug, your intention is for more. I don't know.
Or maybe because it's connected to the water, so it's not considered that it's finished. Like, you know, like we say that Tuma travels with the... As long as there's chibur, then it's like one. It's still not finished coming down. It becomes part of what's coming up.
So it's only that if it's coming from a faucet, let's say.
But this is
from a spring. I dipped it in. I'm not sure the exact matzias, but I must admit, every time I learn this Gemara, I always get very confused. I gotta look it over a few times over. But I never thought of this question before. I'm looking over here quickly.
Even if there's too much water, it is not considered appropriate for the Kli Sharis, and therefore the Kli Sharis will not sanctify. You can say why, but...
Okay, I don't know. Let's talk in. So anyways, the Gemara does suggest you could still use a Kli Sharis in one of those two ways, either not having the das be Mekadosh it, or having more than the shear. Either way will not be Mekadosh the Maim with Kedushas Aguf, and will not be a Psulina. So the Gemara says, no... Amar Ziri, Kesavar Ein Shir L'mayim. Now we hold actually that there is no Shir L'mayim. Even though the Mishnah told us Gimel Lugin was a Shir L'mayim, it's really not an exact Shir. Rashi explains two lines from the bottom, the last Rashi on the page. Ein Shir L'mayim, Shafil Yosem Ishlosha Lugin, Ruin Lenasech, you could use more than that if you really wanted. The Lo Pirsha Behen Torah Shir, the Torah never mentions the Shir. In fact, the Torah actually never even mentions the concept of Nisach HaMayim explicitly. Hilkach, therefore, Ruin Lekli Heim, the Kli Miyad Mekachim. And therefore, when you put the water right in right away, it becomes a Mekadish Bekadish Zaguf. Vafilu Eino Roti Shishkach, Rashi says, Ad Machar Hakli Mekachin Miyad Shalom Medas. Even if you didn't want to maybe cash in until tomorrow, once it goes into the Kli, it's going to be effective. And he says further, Zir makes a second assumption also, going back to the Gemara, Amr Zir again, Kusavar Ein Shilamayim, and Kli Sharis Mekachin Shilam Das. Furthermore, Das does not play an effect on Kedusha of the Guf. Meaning before we said that you need Das. Ziri argues, says, no, you do not need Das, and also Mayim has no Shir, Nisach Mayim has no Shir. So therefore, the moment you put it in the klisharis, it's going to be kedushas aguf against your will. And then if you leave it out overnight, it will be considered pasul midin lima. And right, Rashi, the Gemara continues to explain, within this opinion, now within Zeiri, v'i maisi, v'mukadashis if silu lo belina. And if you were to bring water with a klisharis, it will be pasul midin lima. Okay, so Tosos asks a very interesting question now. Tosos asks, I'm not going to go through it, it's a long Tosos, but he says, just like the Gemara was interested with the issue of Lina, if you leave something as Kedushas Aguf, it's left out overnight, it's Pasul Midin Lina, that's a special Psul in leaving something out overnight. What about the Psul Yotze? So let's say we had a habit to take...
Can I close the door?
Yeah, sure.
Because there's a lot of draft.
Yeah. So one of the Psulim also that applies to... Kachim is psul yotze. Psul yotze means if you are take a item outside the base of Mikdash, it becomes pasul midin yotze. You left the walls of Yerushalayim, walls of base of Mikdash. So if you go down to the spring and draw the water from Nisach HaMayim, so if you use the klisharis, in addition to being a potential problem of lina later that night, at that very moment when you use klisharis, there's going to be psul of yotze because you're right now outside the base of Mikdash. The Tosis gives, I guess, the obvious answer. He says, the Kedushas Kli does not take effect outside the base of Mikdash. I'll show you the one line. Look at the bottom, the last few narrow lines of Tosfos. The first word is Mihu. It's three narrow lines up in Tosfos. He says Umiyu, the first word. It's Tosfos on Dafnun, one page over. Are you? Yeah, Dafnun there. The Dibur Maskel of Imaisi, that long Tosfos. So in the narrow lines, three lines up in the narrow lines, he says Umiyu, Ein Mikan Kusha, Kolkach. Dain klisharis mekadish b'chutz ad shiyikarnes lifnim. You use a klisharis outside at the spring down below, it's not going to be effective. But once you enter inside the base of Mikdash, then it's going to be effective.
So that basically destroys all the questions we spoke before about measure and about...
No, because once you bring it inside the base of Mikdash, then it will have kedushas kli. And if you leave it out overnight, then it's going to be pasul midin lina. If they left the water outside the base of Mikdash, never brought it inside, then it would be fine. But apparently they brought it inside, for whatever reason, they left it inside the base of Mikdash, and then there was Kedushas HaKli when they brought it inside.
Even outside the Mikdash, there's no Psulina?
If it never enters in, there's no Kedushas. The Kli Sharis is only Mekadish, that which is inside of it, only when you go into the base of Mikdash. If it never enters the base of Mikdash, there's no Kedushas Guf yet. So in theory, you could leave it outside and it'll be fine. But the Gemara feels that I guess it was needed somehow to be left inside the base of Mikdash. Maybe it would get stolen, I don't know. Okay, so that's all according to Ziri. Again, Ziri felt that Kli Sharis is Mekadesh Shalom Das, even though you have intentions otherwise, it's still Mekadesh, and the Mayim has no Shir. So it's going to be, if you were to use a Kli Sharis, the water would be Kedushas Guf automatically. Chizkia comes along now, two lines down on Daf Nun Amud Aleph. Chizkiya Amar, Kli Sharis Ein Mekadshin Ela Midas. You have to have Das when you're Mekadish. But the problem is, so why couldn't you use a Kli Sharis? All I would have to do is take a Kli Sharis and say, or even think, I'm not being Mekadish the Mayim. I'm just drawing water and use a Kli Sharis. Now it's very interesting that Gemara really suggests, what's the need for a Kli Sharis? If you're not being Mekadish it, you solve all the problems by using a regular Kli. I'm not sure why the Gemara is trying to use a Kli Sharis. But either way, if you use a Kli Sharis and you have a Das not to be Mekadish it, it will work. So why not use a Kli Sharis? The Gemara says, V'gzeira shema yomru l'das nikadshu. people are going to say, wait a second, they probably had das to be mekadesh the mayim, because they never said outright, we're not being mekadesh the mayim, they just drew the water. And people are going to think they used it with das. And then they're going to see the next morning, after leaving it out overnight, they use that nisach mayim. So they're going to say, oh, psulina doesn't apply to nisach mayim, or maybe psulina never applies. So lest people say that, we say better to use a non-kli sharis, use just a regular kli, not a special base of mikdash kli, simply because people might think otherwise. Okay. Then the Gemara says, a third answer, Amar Rabbi Yanai, why don't you use a kli sharis? Amar Rabbi Zeira, afilu tema yeshi l'mayim, even if you want to suggest that mayim has an exact shear. V'kli sharis ein mikach el midas, and furthermore, kli sharis only works with das. Still, you shouldn't use a kli sharis. Gzeira shema yomu l'kidush yadayim reglayim malam. People are going to say that they probably filled up the water for the purpose of washing the hands and legs of the Kohen Gadol. Let's see this Rashi here. So Rashi says, Gzeira shema yomu l'kidush yadayim reglayim. Rashi says, the Kohen Gadol, they filled up some water to wash the hands and legs of the Kohen Gadol, malam v'kachin b'kli, and they put it into a kli sharis, and the water has kedushas aguf now. Shein mekachin yadayim reglayim el b'mayim mekudashim. You're only allowed to use water to wash the hands and legs of wine water that's mekudash. Dumu dekir, just like the kior is the water is kadosh. Shenim shach v'shemen ha-mishcha, that the kli, the kior, was anointed, was smeared with a special oil of shemen ha-mishcha. Mekadesh is made of, now the kior itself is a kli sharis and is able to be mekadesh the water that's inside the kior. Veim lekidush yadayim reglayim, the kior was used to wash hands and legs of the kohanim. Af kiton shazav, so to this golden container, shayu osin lechvodesh kohen gadol kadesh heimanu yada raglav, so to the golden container that was used, the Gemara Yuma tells us on Yom Kippur they wouldn't use the kior for the kohen gadol. Yom Kippur they use a special golden pitcher. So they're going to think they probably used the container that they used for the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, and it's a kli sharis. And it's probably used the container, they really filled it up to wash the hands and legs of the Kohen Gadol. And they're going to say, the Asala Meimar, people are going to say, they probably filled the water up for the purpose of the Kohen Gadol. Because they already just saw a week ago is Yom Kippur, right now we're on Sukkot. A week ago they went to the base of Mikdash, and they used a golden pitcher to wash the hands and the legs of the Kohen Gadol. So they're going to think, oh, they probably used the same pitcher, which is a kli sharis, for the purpose of washing the hands and the legs of the Kohen Gadol. And what's going to happen? They're going to say, V'les le'shira, she'afil hava me'alugin ruin heim l'kli v'nishkachu, v'chichazu demnaschil hu amar ein le'inam ma'alas b'nisachim. And then they're going to say, oh, wait a second, but didn't they fill this up Erev Shabbos? And now they're using this water the next day on Shabbos itself. So we see that lina doesn't affect in the Sachim. That's the whole whole concern.
It's all from Kohanim, and it's not wine, it's water. And
it's still water, though. I mean, water is Nisach HaMayim, it still has the same din as Nisach HaYayin.
Yeah, but the measurements are different, and right? We said
they are, but still considered one of the Nisuchim. It's still, all the halachas apply. So just like Yayin is pasul midin lina, so to the water, we pasul midin lina. But people are not going to know, if you use a kli sharis, people are not going to know that they're, we say, according to Rabbi Yana again, if you don't have das, it won't be mekadesh. People won't know that it wasn't mekadesh.
Doesn't seem to be that that's really the reason why they did that.
Right.
But who knows?
Okay.
That's another excuse.
So anyways, for those three different reasons, we don't use a kli sharis when filling up the water for Nisach HaMayim. Now the Gemara quotes the last line of our Mishnah that said, Nishpecho Niskalsa, if you filled up the water overnight, it wasn't Kedushas Kli, and there was no Kedushas Aguf. And then the water either spilled or it ended up being uncovered overnight. You can't use it because there was a concern, perhaps, that a snake came and left some of its venom, and there's either a problem of Rashi said because it was missing some of the shear, or Tosafot already alluded to the Gemara we're about to see that Hikrivu Nal Fchasecha, it's inappropriate, it's a bizayon to use such a water that's been infested by a snake venom. It's inappropriate to be used for the carbon. So the Gemara says, "V'amai le'aved b'misnenes." So why not just take the water and put it into a strainer and strain out all the venom, and the venom will be left above a strainer.
Misnenet.
Yeah.
What do you mean? How can
you put like your noodles in the boiled noodles. You put in the strainer.
Right.
The water falls.
It doesn't take out the venom. It's all. It's already.
The Gemara is going to explain that the venom is very thick, and stays on top. If you have a very fine strainer, the thick will stay on top. Just like for wine and sediment, I guess that's not liquid. But, okay, I'm not sure where else we have a type of strainer that separates two liquids from each other.
Is there such a thing that separates water from oil? I would say venom is like oil.
Right, and I'm not sure what venom's like. I don't know.
Also, if you see venom on wine, would you drink it after you strained it?
Right, probably not. Right, probably would not.
So they're not drinking it.
Can you drink venom?
Right. Oh, yeah, right. You're right. No, he's right. He's right. But it has to be raw in Ishtia, yeah, probably. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
If you drink snake venom, what happens? It's not the same like he bites you. Because that's going directly into the vein.
On the contrary, I think some people, I think there is stuff.
It's a medicine?
Yeah, some there's some medicines with
Okay.
With very little amount.
We don't know much about this. Either way, the Gemara is going to tell us the venom is so thick that it will stay on top of it, I guess, if you use a thin enough type of strainer. So the Gemara says, so why don't you use a strainer, remove the venom, and then you're able to use the water. So Gemara says, "Lema masisin delo kariyin nechemir." Must be our Mishnah is not in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Nechemir. The Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, "Misanenes yeshva mishum giloy." If you use a strainer is still there's still a concern of giloy being uncovered. The idea is, I think the setup is where you have a strainer on top of a pot. So you pour water with the venom on top of the pot, and you leave it out overnight. So we assume that the venom stayed on top, and the water is now below. Even though it's you separate it, there's still a concern that the water below might be problematic, might still be problematic of the snake getting inside, leaving venom. So, again, Misanenes Yeshua Mishum Giloy, and Amar Bi Nechemia, Emasai Bismanshe Tachtona Megula. It's only true when the bottom one, where the pot which catches the water, is also Megula, it's not covered. Aval Bismanshe Tachtona Mechusa. If the bottom one, after you've strained it, the water that has dripped is now covered, it's Mechusa. Even though the top where the strainer is on top holding on the venom, even though the top is open, but as long as the bottom's covered, then ain ba mishum gilay, then there's not a problem of gilay. Eres nachash lesafug tzaf, that the venom is like a type of sponge that floats on top. The omid bimkom stays in its place. So I guess the idea is, you imagine taking noodles, you pour the noodles on top into a strainer, and you place the strainer on top of a pot. So the water begins to drip below into the pot, and the noodles stay on top. So the venom is basically like the noodles on top, hanging there. So Rabbi Nechemia says that we assume that the venom stays on top of the strainer, and as long as you kept the bottom pot covered, so no other venom, no other snake could get inside there, and we're not concerned the venom is going to drip from top, and therefore you're allowed to use it. So the fact that our mission never suggests you're allowed to use a strainer to remove the venom sounds like it's not like Rabbi Nechemia. It sounds like the Tanakhama, which says, no, we don't think the venom stays on top. The venom's still going to drip below to a certain extent, and there's no way of separating the venom from the liquid.
How does the bottom, because the bottom covered, I don't understand that when you separate, there's...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly. I wish I had a picture how it worked. There must have been, it wasn't directly on top of the pot. It must have been the strainer was up top here. The pot was probably a little bit below with some separation in between.
And it had like a...
Right. The Gemara and Shabbos talked about like being tolen, like hanging a misnenes, an issue of ohel. So there was some type of separation between the strainer and the actual pot. So then you have to put another covering on top of the pot after you strained it. That's the shiloh. So Rabbi Nechemia says, after you've strained it, if you cover the bottom pot, it's fine. And the Chacham say, no, even after you strain it, some of the venom is going to fall through with the liquid, and you can never separate the two from each other. So it must be that our Mishnah, which does not suggest this, does not hold like Rabbi Nechemia. So the Gemara says, Afilu Tema Rabbi Nechemia, even Rabbi Nechemia would agree in our case of our Mishnah, that you couldn't use it. Why? Eimer d'amar Rabbi Nechemia l'hedyot. Rabbi Nechemia said, for a hedyot, the hedyot is able to do this. For him, it's enough. It's separated enough for a regular person to drink such a water. Avala gavo, when it comes to serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu, l'kadshim, the nisach hamayim, mi amar, would he go so far to say that you could strain it for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, l'gavoa? Mi amar v'lesle, the Rabbi Nechemia, hakivu nol v'chasecha, hirtecha, o yeshach panecha, amar Hashem tzvakos? They're supposed to serve Hashem the karbanos. This is a pasuk they always refer to as you're supposed to use things that are not bali mumim, and you're supposed to use the best types of karbanos and the best types of nisuchim. So for that reason, does he reject this pasuk? Certainly he won't reject this. So even in such a case, Rabbi Nechemia will say, you cannot use a strainer to remove the venom because it's still considered something disgusting to bring as a karban. Hadron alach, lulav, v'arav. Okay, last perek. Six plot left.
Can I do let's see Thursday night? Is everybody available next Thursday night?
Next Thursday night. for April 6th, no, it's April like 5th or something, right?
Whatever you want.
No, I'm saying with everybody.
There's Liga.
No, so that's what I want to know.
Thursday night works for me.
Probably. You?
I think so.
Unless he's going to Hawaii or something.
I quit my job for you.
Okay, I guess David's in.
So I think I'll talk to my wife to see if there are any other plans, but I think my kids can also be.
Ah, your kids is here too. Ah.
Yeah, so we'll make it
beautiful.
Okay, so new perek now. Perek called Perek HaChalil. HaChalil is a flute or something, right? What are they?
A Weinberger is around Wednesday night, yeah. No, the Thursday night, yeah.
Thursday is around.
So maybe we can get it. Okay. We say HaChalil is a flute, is that right?
Khalil is a flute.
We used to play the Khalil.
You did?
Yeah, in the school.
Yeah, in school.
We used to teach the
Khalil. Oh, really?
Yeah. You also had it?
No.
I think nowadays you don't have it anymore.
No.
Right?
They eat it away.
No, it's digital.
Every Jewish school had the Khalil.
Yeah.
Right. It was a...
flute and
iPad. It's a different generation.
Station and iPad.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Mishnah says, HaChalil Chamisha V'Shisha. The Khalil, the flute they used to play... in Sukkot, we'll get to it in a second. Why would be either five or six times throughout Sukkot? Zeh haChalil shel Beis HaShoeva. This was the Chalil that was used for the Simchas Beis Shoeva. Sheino Docha Lo Asa Shabbos Lo Asa Yomtiv. The Chalil, the musicians, the instruments rather, would not be Docha Shabbos or Yomtiv. So you take out one Yomtiv. So we are talking about 7 days of Sukkot. So one day of Yomtiv is knocked out, that leaves us six over. If Shabbos falls out during Chol Moed, that leaves 2 days you're not Docha. So we're left with 5 days where the Chalil can be used. If it happens to be first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, so there's only one day that you can't use the Chalil that allows for the Simchas Beis Shoeva. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi tells us, what's the Simchas Beis Shoeva? What's the celebration? Rashi writes, Beis Shoeva, Kol Simchazu, Eino Ela Bishvil Nisach HaMayim, Kid Mefarish V'Sha'aft Mayim B'Sasam. So the whole celebration is Nisach HaMayim. That's why you V'Sha'aft Mayim, when you draw the water, B'Sasam. So that's the point of Simchas Beis Shoeva, celebrating Nisach HaMayim. So one ha'ara they point out is, shaftim mayim, shouldn't the pasuk be v'nisach ha'mayim? Why the shaftim mayim? The shiva is elamai. The shiva is the hachana. How important is the simcha and the hachana? Is, that's the celebration, or at least the beginning of the simcha, starts already from the shaftim, the shiva. Yeah. It's called beis ha'shoeva, the house of drawing the water. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the pouring of the water. The fact that Shoeva and the emphasizing Sha'aft and Shiva, this indication that the how important the Hachan of the mitzvah is for in general and particularly here.
Anybody can Shoeva? Or the coin again?
I think anybody can. I don't think we saw any limitations of who could do it.
So that's only the coin.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Yeah, but I don't think we saw anywhere that Dafka coin has to do it. It's not an avoda, so I don't see why. At the same time, remember the mission Yuma that says the Isha Iti, the person who go out to send the Azazel off the cliff. Anybody was allowed to do that, but the Kohanim took it upon themselves. They only let a Kohen to do that. We don't find the halacha here, but yeah, interesting. I guess that's part of the Simcha, maybe. Everyone is able to partake in the Avoda.
Okay.
So, but Simcha, so Beisarei Shoeva, is one day, or we just picked one day out of, and we just do it?
We know, the whole week.
It's a whole week.
The whole week, yeah.
So people just do the Simcha Shoeva, like whenever they pick during Chalim Moed.
Yeah, nowadays it's just simply a Zecher.
Right.
The real Simcha was here, according to the Rashi, but according to the Rambam, Ram says the Simchas Beis Shoeva has nothing to do with Nisach HaMayim. It's a celebration of Sukkot. Nothing to do with this. So according to the Rambam, L'chorim, even Bizman HaZeh, there might be an Indian of Simchas Beis Shoeva, just a celebration of Sukkot alone.
But the word Shoeva comes from Mayim Shoavim?
To draw water.
Right.
So you look at it, we'll look in a second.
So why would the Rambam say that?
Fine, so you look at, we'll jump ahead for a second, and we'll come back. But look at Tosa, just to address your question, on the top of next Amun. Nunam Beis, Chad Tani Shoeva. So the Tosas quotes, "B'yushalmi mefarsh shemisham shoavin ruach hakodesh, she'ashchina shor mitoch simcha." Shiva is lashon not drawing water, but drawing from the ruach hakodesh. That's the idea.
This what is many? Is one person? Is one many persons?
No, it's many. It's Bali Tosas. They're called many.
So they joined in and
yeah, and different masechtas have different primary authors to it. You have Stira and one Tosas in Suk and Tosas elsewhere. You don't. If people try to make them work with each other, but if you can't get an answer why they're saying different things, you just say two different people wrote them.
And can you know who's the author?
Sometimes we know. Sometimes they're able to know who was the author. Okay. Now, one other tosis here to do. The next page, I think, it moves pretty quickly. So just do back to Nun Amal Aleph. So I'm sending you back and forth. The bottom tosis of Nun Amal Aleph, tosis writes, Sheinu Doche Los Yom Tov Los Shabbos. We're not Doche. You can't play instruments on Shabbos. So tosis quotes from the Gemara. It's already, I guess, foreshadowing Mesachas Beitza for us. Avagav de Chalol Eino Aser El Mishum Shem Yisak in Klishir. Why can you play instruments on Shabbos? Why can you play a flute? There's no problem playing a flute. There's no mlocha. If the concern is it might break, and you might fix the flute, or you might fix the guitar. So that's why you can't play it. So, kimbo lo masafkin, just like you can't clap on Shabbos, lo matapkin, you can't make noises on Shabbos, the perek mashalim. You're not allowed to do different noises, because it's anything that resembles music, an instrument, other than singing, is a concern you might come to fix kelim. Now, that's a different discussion.
That doesn't apply on the avod, on the regular avodah.
Exactly. And the Gemara says, v'kai malan, the ain't shvus v'mikdash.
Right.
So no, and we have all the other karbanos. We did have instruments on Shabbos. So why do we say that you can't play instruments in the Besimchas Beis Shoeva? So the Tosa answers:
if it's in Shabbos,
on Shabbos, right? But the answer is Beis Shoeva Shiny. Kedamim Begemara Deino Ela Mishum Simcha Yisera. It's not a real halacha. It's not there for the avoda.
Right.
Exactly. It's simply Simcha Yisera. Now, this goes to Shitaso, according to Tosos, on the next page, because for him, it has nothing to do with the Avodah. It's about the Simcha of Ruach HaKodesh. But according to Rashi, who thinks that the Simcha in Beis HaShreva is a din in the Nisach HaMayim, it's more related to the carbon, maybe you have to think of a different answer, according to Rashi, to why it's not Docha, the Avodah. Okay. So Gemara begins now on the top of Nun Amun Beis. Gemara says, Itmar, Rav Yehuda, Rav Ina, Chad Tani Shoeva Tan Chadi Chashuva. Machlokas, what was the word? Simchas Beis Shoeva, or was it Simchas Beis Ha Chashuva? So the Gemara says, Amar Mar Zutra Man De Tani Shoeva Lo Meshavish. The one who had the gears of Shoeva wasn't mistaken. Uman De Tani Chashuva Lo Meshavish, and the one who had Chashuva also wasn't mistaken. They're both true. Why? Man De Tana Shoeva Lo Meshavish. He didn't make mistakes. Shoeva was very appropriate to use such a word. Dichsiv Ushaftim Maim Bisasan. The pasuk says, Ushaftim, you're supposed to draw the water, or according to Tosos, draw from the Ruach HaKodesh, very appropriate to call it Beis Shoeva. And Man De Tani Chashuva Lo Meshavish, that also wasn't mistaken. Damar of Nachman Mitzvah Chashuva, it's a very important mitzvah. Uba Misheshish Mei Breshish, because the mitzvah of Simchas Beis Shoeva already was founded from the times of the Maisa Bracious, as Rashi tells us, top line, Misheshis Mei Bracious, Darminal Ale, we saw, was it yesterday, 2 days ago? Shisin Nivru Misheshis Mei Bracious, Lekabah HaNesachim. The Shisin, those depths that was below the Mizbech, was already created from the times of the Maisa Bracious, so that's a very Chashuva type of mitzvah. That's why one would call it Beis Chashuva. It's a very interesting Maris Chias, they quote in the back here, that he says this very machlok is about exactly what the Girsa of the mission is. Indicates that they did not have the Mishnah, was not written down as of yet from the times of the Amoraim. Otherwise, they should open up a Mishnah and just look what the Lashon of the Mishnah was. So he proves from here that the Mishnahs were not written. They were known and they were Alpi Masora, but they weren't yet written down. That's what he says. But the Emek Sukkas, which is a Achron on the Masechah Sukkah, writes that even if it was written down, there are mistakes. It's very possible there was a mistake in the way they wrote it down, and there was, the words were written down differently in different Girsos, so it's not necessarily a proof that the Mishnah was not written down yet. Okay, the Gemara now continues and says, just 1 second here. Okay, interesting Marsha. Marsha writes here that, why is Nisach HaMayim considered so chashuv? Nisach HaYayim was also done all year round. Nisach HaYayim, they poured down the tube.
But also, this is only in Sukkot.
Right, so why suddenly we come to Sukkot? For the Nisach HaMayim, we call it such a choshev of a mitzvah. We do Nisach HaYayin all year round, pouring it down to the Shisin also. They also go to the Shisin every single day, twice a day. The Tamar in the morning, Tamar in the afternoon, it's accompanied by Nisach HaYayin. That goes right down to the Shisin. So why are we suddenly celebrating the Shisin and Maaseh Breishis, Dafka and Sukkos for the Nisach HaMayim? That's the Maharsha's question. So he answers because Nisach HaMayim is much more connected to Maaseh Breishis as opposed to Nisach HaYayin. Because we know in the beginnings, the Mayim Tachton and Mayim Elyon were separate. And the Gemara says, and the Mayim Tachnon were very upset. Why am I being sent down here below, and Mayim Yonim are going up above? I want to be part of the above. So the answer, Medrash says that, don't worry, in the future, in the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to appease you. You're going to be used for the Beis HaMikdash for the Nisach HaMayim. So Nisach HaMayim is a way of appeasing the Mayim Tachtonim in order to, it brings us back to Maisa Bereishis. Another thing also, another way it's connected, he doesn't say this though, that's also one of the reasons why we put melach, salt, and all the karbanos on the Mizbeach, because the salt comes from the water. That's also a way of appeasing the water. The salt waters, we're going to take the salt from you. And every single carbon, you have to place a melach, you have to place salt on it, which comes from the Beis HaMikdash.
That's right. I heard a word, Al Naros Bavel, Sham Yishav Gam Bachinu. What does it mean, Gam Bachinu, we also cried? Because they were sitting on Naros Bavel. Naros Bavel were the Mayim Tachtonim. They cried also because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now the Mayim Tachtonim could no longer be appeased with the salt on the Mizbeach. So they're
right. They're very good. And also, furthermore, the idea of tears is a big.
It says Al Naros Bavel, Sham Yishav Gam Bachinu. Who? It's Gam. We also cried. Who else? They sat and they cried. But it sounds like
Gam is Miutar.
It's Miutar. It's adding that the waters also were crying because the waters who had been appeased with their salt being put on the Mizbeach.
They lost the connection. The
Fias.
The Fias.
Oh, peace. Okay.
The waters.
Interesting. Same word.
Salt right. Were yeah. Put onto the Mizbeach. They can no longer be put.
Here it says that we're a little bit late, but here it says that. אשר בכל ימות השנה היו השיטין משמשים לנסוך לנסח בהם יין מכל מקום הם לא נבראו בשתמים ראשית אלא משום ניסוך המים לפי שבסוכות העולם נידון על המים.
Ah, okay. Also interesting.
So it's one more answer why was it special.
Who says that? Not the
Marsha,
right?
Rosh Hashanah Tadzayin.
Where are they? Oh, that's just cool. That's the Mishnah that says we're nidon al mayim. But to say that's the reason to apply that Mishnah here, doesn't quote who says that. Who applies the Mishnah here?
Agadot Marsha.
Marsha said also. Okay, he also says that. I didn't see that. Okay, maybe I read through quickly.
Okay, yeah, that's a Marsha.
Okay. So now the Gemara says we are Tana Rabbanan, around eight lines down. Tana Rabbanan HaChalil Dochas HaShabbos Divrei Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. He held that the Chalil, the flute, is Docha Shabbos. And Chacham Omrim Af Yom Tov Einu Docha. Even Yom Tov is not Docha, let alone, needless to say, Shabbos is not Docha either. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Yosef Machlokas B'Shir Shel Karban. The whole Machlokas is, we're not talking about the Nisach HaMayim right now, and the Simchas Beis Eva, but about the Chalil, the flute that would accompany the carbon, but not during Simchas Beis Reva. Remember, the chali we're talking about here in the Mishnah is talking about the simcha they would have during the dancing, I guess, of the Simchas Beis Reva. So, during the carbon, that's the machlokas. What's the basis? What's the explanation of the machlokas here? So, Gemara explains that the Rabbi Yossi Savar Iker Shira Bikli. The main way, the carbon has to be accompanied by a song, by the shir. The Levim would say a shir every single day during the carbon tamid. So the shir, the ikar shir, was not the peh, was not the singing of the Levim. The ikar shir was using the instruments. So since the ikar shir was the bekli, va'avodi, and that's considered navoda, docha the Shabbos. Therefore, you docha the Shabbos, because you need to have the shir. Rabban savri ikar shira bepeh. No, the real song is meant to be the singing of praise by the Levim. V'la'avodi, and the playing of the instruments is not considered a avodah, and therefore eino docha es a Shabbos. That's a machlokas about a carbon. Aval, but when it comes to shir shel shoeva, the playing during the Simchas Beis Shoeva, the celebrations, divrei hakol simchahi ve'eino docha es a Shabbos. Everybody agrees, like our Mishnah says, it's simply a simcha, and it's not an adin avodah, and it will not be docha the Shabbos.
So that makes sense, so no, something doesn't make sense. According to Rabbanan, we know that used to be docha Shabbos. If it's talking about other stuff.
Well, it's not any dough. It's not any shvus. You can't just do anything you want. It has to have a purpose. It has to be a tzarech avodah.
I thought there were musical instruments on Shabbos.
They were?
Yeah.
They played?
Yeah.
On Shabbos?
As far as I know. But
because of the avodah in here, they say it's not enough. It's not part of the avodah. Therefore, it's not a mishabbat.
I think it's only by the flute. Other instruments were played, we'll see in a second.
Okay. Yeah,
but only,
clearly that the instruments were played on Shabbos.
But only the flute, right? Only the flute is the subject of discussion here. We'll see why in a moment. A second here.
Should write it out.
Okay, so the Gemara says The I thought it was a diakir. Okay, I missed it. Now, there was something important here I wanted to mention. It's supposed to be a diakir in Rashi. Yeah, let's read this Rashi. Okay, fine. I'll mention this because it's based in parentheses, but it's an important point. We'll do it quickly. Look at the top two lines down in Rashi. B'shir shel karbon, b'cholol hamak lefnei mizbeach b'shas nisach. When they play the flute during the shas nisach, hamayim. I'm reading the parentheses for now. B'shas nisach hamayim v'yayin l'tamid shel shachar v'nisach hayayin l'tamid shel ben arbayim. When they play it during these during pouring the waters. So we mentioned the other day there's a chakira nisach hamayim where the nisach hamayim is really a din in the carbon tamid, or it's a mitzvah bifnei atzma. It happens to be done during the carbon, but it's really a mitzvah bifnei atzma, or really, no, it's a l'sayeh, it's really there to help and to support the carbon tamid itself. And there's machlok, is Rashi, Rambam, the Brisker Rav talks about that. There's a stipler, a whole discussion, an interesting chakira. At some point to this Rashi, that the fact that he says, b'shach nisach amayim, the tamid shel shachar, that he couples it with the tamid, sounds like from Rashi, Nisach HaMayim is not a mitzvah b'fnei asma, rather it's there to accompany the carbon tamid. That's a diak some point out. Okay. Let's go right to now in the Gemara. The Gemara says now, Amar of Yosef, Mina Amina, Dibah Pligi. How do I know that they're arguing about using the flute during the carbon tamid? Ditan, the Brises tells us, Kli Sharis She'asan Shel Eitz Rebbe Posa. If you make a Kli Sharis out of wood, it's going to be disqualified. It won't be good as a Kli Sharis. And Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Machsher, he permitted you to use a kli sharis made of wood. Why? What's the basis of machlokas? My lab b'hakamifli, are they not arguing about the following? Man de Machsher, the one who permits using it, suffer ikir shir b'kli, that the ikir shir of ikir, the music that was played there was meant to be used with instruments. V'yalfinan mi avuva de Moshe, and you can learn out from avuva de Moshe. Moshe in the midbar had some type of wooden flute. So just like Moshe Rabbeinu had a wooden flute in the midbar, so we can learn from there. So too, you could have a wooden flute bizman hazeh in the mikdash, which would be considered a kli. And then the other opinion that felt man the pasul, the one who disqualifies a wooden kli sharis, savar ikashira bepeh. Really, the ikashir should be saying by mouths and by singing and not by instruments. Loyal finim avuva de Moshe, and you do not learn out from avuva de Moshe from the flute that Moshe Rabbeinu had in the midbar. So again, everyone agreed Moshe Rabbeinu had some type of wooden flute in the midbar. The question was, can you learn from him to now or not? Well, it depends. Was the wooden flute that he used in the midbar, was that considered a klisharis or not a klisharis? If you say that the klishir, ikashir rather, is with kalim, with the instruments, so then you learn from Moshe Rabbeinu's wooden flute to wooden flutes now, and it would be considered a real klisharis. But if you cannot learn from Moshe Rabbeinu because you hold that ikashir is bepeh and not instruments, then you cannot learn from Moshe Rabbeinu's flute to apply it to klisharis nowadays, and you would not allow for klisharis to be made of wood. I know it sounds a little bit confusing. Should I say that again? There's a Rashi that says it clearer than I can. Yeah, let's read the Rashi here. Rashi man de machshir. The one who permits you to have a klisharis made of wood, Rashi explains, eitz, man de machshir eitz, lekol kli sharis, for use of any kli sharis to made of wood, savar ikashir b'kli. They hold that the ikashir is supposed to be done through instruments. Vavalu kli hashir kli sharis, and it turns out that all the instruments have a din of kli sharis because that's the ikar way you accomplish here. V'aviv haya b'mikdash b'mosei Moshe, and there was some type of wooden flute from the times of Moshe. V'usha kana k'detzna be'erchen, made of some type of thing that grows from the ground. Hilkach shar kli sharis minayu galfinon lachshurig b'shalitz. So you could derive from, just like Moshe Rabbeinu has something made of wood, so to anything else, any other kli sharis can be made of wood.
So what's the inyan? The type of material, or if it's ikar the kli or the peh?
Well, that's the whole point. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu certainly had a wooden kli. But was that wooden flute, was that really needed for the singing?
Was it a kli sharis or not? Exactly. That's the question. And here it says that once you don't learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, you learn from the menorah that it was metal.
Exactly. So you can't learn from Moshe that to use wood, then you have to use everything else that has to be metal based on the menorah, right? So the Gemara says further now. Gemara says low, not true. The chuliyama, everybody agrees, ikar shir b'kli. The primary way to accomplish the din of a shir is through instruments. So then if it's instrument, Moshe Rabbeinu's flute was an instrument, it was made of wood, it was a klisharis. So we should allow all klisharis to be made of wood. So what's the machlokas, whether you learn from Moshe Rabbeinu or not? V'hacha b'danin efshar mishi efshar. The machlokas is whether or not you're able to learn something from that was possible from something that was impossible. Why? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu impossible? So Rashi explains, ain danin efshar mishi efshar. You see that, Rashi? He says, shar kelim, all other utensils, efshar shehu shamatechas, can be made of metal. V'hein mechubadim, it's very presentable to use such a kli made of metal. Hilkach minori alfinalu. V'lo mi'av of Shemoshe, you wouldn't learn it from the wooden flute of Moshe. The Hasam Taima Efshar La'asos Shematachas, you couldn't make the avov of metal, as the Gemara can mefarish be'erchin. Why? Shitzapuzav, if they were to cover it in gold. V'lo haya kola ariv, it wouldn't be a nice voice. The sound, the gold would ruin the sound of it. Not lues sipuyev, and they took away the gold. And then haya kola ariv is a very beautiful sound they made. So therefore, you don't want a flute that sounds bad, you want a flute that sounds good. So the only way they're able to make a flute that was good was of wood. So it was efshar. But you can't learn from something that's efshar, the only way to make the flute was of wood, to something that's efshar. You can make a pot out of metal, you don't have to use wood for that. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a special heter because there's no other way to make the flute. But when you have other options to make it, so maybe you shouldn't have to, you wouldn't be able to use it. So that's the shaila. Can you learn efshar from something that was efshar? Moshe Rabbeinu's case was efshar. Can you apply it to a case where it's efshar to use other materials? That's the machlokas. So back to Gemara. Gemara explained again. Lo, the chuliyama ikar shira b'kli. Really, everybody agrees the primary way to accomplish shira is through instruments. V'hacha b'danin efshar mishi efshar. Can you learn something possible from something that's impossible? Kamifligli. Man the machsh, the one who permits you to use kli sharis made of wood in general. Savar danin efshar mishi efshar. You can learn something that's possible nowadays. You can make a pot of anything you want, but you can still learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu, whose case was impossible. The fact that he used wood, I don't care that it was impossible, but he did use wood. You could also use wood in any kli sharis. But man the pasul, one who disqualifies using a kli sharis made of wood, savar lo danin efshar mishi efshar. You can't learn from Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was impossible. He had no other way. He had to use wood. But to a case now in regular Beis HaMikdash where we have other kalim which can be made of metal, so you can't make it from wood. Moshe Rabbeinu had a special heter because it was impossible any other way. But we could use metal. There's no heter to use wood. That's the machlokas. Then the Gemara says, V'bai Zema, another explanation is, the Chuli Alma Dekashir Bepeh, completely different approach. Really, up until now, we've been assuming, the previous answer was, Ikashir was Bekli, with instruments. Now the Gemara says, no, really, the Ikashir is accomplished through singing. Vein done in Efshar, Mishi Efshar, and everybody agrees also that you cannot learn from something possible, you can't learn something possible from something impossible. You cannot learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu's case is out. So what's the heter to use wood? If we don't learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, where else would you use a heter to use wood? Every other kelim that we have, the menorah, the shulchan, the aron, everything was made of metal. So where do you find the heter to use wood? So Gemara tells you, this is the machlokas. V'hacha b'melef menorah, the fact that whether you can learn from the menorah, b'chlali uprati, uberiboy umiyutu. There are two different ways to darshan psukim. When you have a pasuk that has a klal, a general statement, and then a specific, a detail, do you view that as a klal uprat? Or do you view that as a riboy and a miut? It's a machlokas. We come up in a different place in Shas. Different Amarayim and Tanayim had different ways of darshaning psukim. So the case is, do you learn here klal prat, or do you learn here riboy miut? And the different mechanism will really create a big nafkamina for our case. That's machlokas. So what's the machlokas? The Gemara explains, Rebbe darish klal prat. The Rebbe learns klal prat. Rebbe Yosi bar Yehuda darish riboy miut. So let's explain further. Rebbe darish klal prate v'asisa menorahs. You make a menorah. Klal, just make a menorah. No specifics, just build a menorah out of anything. Then the Gemara, the pasuk says, zahav tahor has to be made of pure gold, prat. That already makes a detail. So that's a klal prat. Maksha tase menorah. Then maksha tase, make it into one unit. Miksha tase menorah, make it in one piece of gold. Chazer klal. So then it goes back to the klal. It's a klat prat uklal. Klal is making a menorah. Make it of gold, make it menorah. Klal, prat, or klal. What's halacha?
Why the miksha is not prat?
No. Miksha make it one unit, a piece. But no, we don't say gold or silver. One piece of something. Doesn't specify what type of material it is.
No, miksha is made out of one piece, meaning not made out of a few parts.
Right. What type of material?
You could take a
it says
zav.
No. You have to break it up and psukim. It says asisa menorah. Pause. So Zaptar. Pause. Miksha. Right. Pause. It could be a block of silver.
You could take a piece of wood and carve it out of one piece and make a halil, and it would still be miksha.
Yeah.
So that's a cloud.
He's the prat. You understand? The menorah is the right.
So it comes out from this pasuk. It's a klal upradu klal. And iatadan ela kein aprat. When you have klal upradu klal, the halach is, the drush is, you only learn something that's similar kein aprat. Ma prat mefura shot bateches. Just like the prat here, which is gold, it's material, it's metal rather. Af kol shel mateches, so to any other material that is metal, silver, bronze, copper, and the like. So all those has to be similar to the prat, can be used for the menorah and for any other klisharis, excluding wood. But Rabbi Yossi Yehuda Gemara explains Darish Ribo Yamid. He has a different mechanism to Darish in the Pasuk. Vasis Menoros, that's a Riba, that's a inclusive word. Anything's included. Zavtar Mir, that excludes, not specific, but that come to exclude something. The Mir is not defining the cloud, it's really just making a specific exclusion of something. And then Miksha Teasa Menorah Chaz of Riba, that's another including word. So to Riba Mir Riba, that's the name of the cloud, this Joshua. And Riba comes to include every possible material in the world. My Rabba, what does it come to include? Rabbi Kol Mila, everything. My Miut, what does Miut come to exclude? That comes to Miut Shelcheres, comes to exclude Shelcheres of anything earthenware, pottery, that may not be used for the Kalim. And that's really the base of the Chokas above, whether or not you could use a wood, Klisheres, nothing to do with our discussion.
So by definition, is there any case that Ribui Umiut Ribui doesn't compare to Klal or Prat to Klal? Because by definition, they're going to be opposite halachas every single time there is a case like this.
Yeah, because Ribui Umiut only excludes one particular item. And right. Klal Prat says excludes a lot. It has to be fit into a certain category that's similar to the Prat, which case it's excluding a lot of different things.
Okay. 51.
Okay, so we'll stop here.
So again, so.